Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Inside Jeremy in Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage, keep free speech alive. For every $100 that you donate, you'll be in the drawing to win a book from John Statmiller's library, and book of the week yet to be announced, but I'm sure it'll be a good one. If you donate $100 and annotate that you want to be in the drawing and you don't win this week, you're still in the drawing for the consecutive drawings, which will be held Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Central, on Steve's show. So tune in for the winner of that book. This is your Tuesday night broadcast with Dr. Patrick Slattery, the Patrick and Jeremy Show. Welcome, Patrick.
Well, thank you, Jeremy. Tuesday night, but it's morning. In fact,
we are recording.
Yeah, I just woke up, and I was having a dream. You want to know what I dreamed? What Patrick Slattery dream is?
There's no telling.
I had to record the last 4-minute segment of a show, and for whatever reason, I was doing it in front of like a high school classroom, and the teacher was introducing me, and I said something like, "Thank you, John Altmaier." I think, wait a minute, Altmaier? It's not Altmaier. What is it? I was trying to remember Statmiller. I'm in the middle of a dream, and I'd said Altmaier. I said, I know it's not Altmaier. And then I couldn't think of anything to say.
So I thought you were going to say you had one of those dreams where you're giving a speech and you suddenly realize you're in your underwear or something. That's a classic.
No. I have given a speech and then afterwards realized that my fly was open.
In real life, huh?
Anyway, it was nothing that a little bit of Photoshop can't correct.
I just dream about painting and doing radio shows. I feel like that's all I do.
Yeah.
I paint in my dreams. It's good though. Hey, are you feeling the Christmas spirit?
I was thinking about Christmas. It was another part of the dream. I was thinking about Christmas. And, am I in the spirit yet? I don't know.
It's hard with everything going on. Probably the week of Christmas, I'm going to just devote it to Christmas stuff and, like, get away from all of this that we're Israel and Ukraine. But for now, we have a duty to report on what's going on over there. We got this RT article, no money left for Ukraine. How do you say Ukraine? What is Ukraine? I forgot. Where is that on the map?
Yeah.
Is there something going on there that we should know about?
Well,
doesn't it feel like that? Like that the whole focus is on Israel now, and then everybody's like, Ukraine, what are you talking about?
here's the thing. So last night, David Duke calls me up, and I don't know why we got on this, but we started going back into the archives of, well, I went back into my archives, and I was reading show descriptions from the first week or so of the conflict, the current military operation in Ukraine. And I was reading some headlines. I said, you know, why is it why did we get this right? Why did we get this right? And then we go back into his archives, and we're going back to 2014 and 2015 and reading show descriptions from them from that point period of time. And then articles that I had posted on davidduke.com. And, you know, there's one from 2015 where I'm saying, Victoria Nuland is trying to start a war. You know, because it looked like all this stuff could have happened in the second Obama administration. There was Victoria Nuland was gunning for a war, you know, and, you know, there's another show description from 2015. Obama sends his Jew crew to Ukraine, his top Jew crew of Secretary of State John Kerry, you know, and then in parentheses Cohn, because that's really the family name, and Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, and then in parentheses Noodleman, because that's the actual family name. And, you know, the thing is, there's a reason why we were getting all this stuff right. And also, like a critique, there was a very good journalist who's since passed away named Robert Perry. And he had written a very good article about what was going on in Ukraine in 2014 or 2015. I can't remember which year it was. And, you know, he was talking about the background of the whole Maidan revolution. But the thing was, he was describing Victoria Nuland and Robert Kagan as tools of the military-industrial complex. And, of course, they're not tools of the military. They don't work for the military-industrial complex. They're not hired guns for the highest bidder, right? They are Jewish activists. They are Jewish partisans, tribalists. They're not selling themselves to the highest bidder, okay? So it's not as if, you know, Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping could come in and outbid the military-industrial complex and get Robert Kagan and Victoria Nuland and these other Jews to all of a sudden do their bidding. It couldn't happen. So, the short answer is why have I been able to get this stuff right? Is it because I'm so brilliant? Or is it simply that I'm dealing with the obvious reality that our foreign policy and really our society is dominated by Jews, and they are pursuing what they perceive as Jewish interests? So that's it.
People see this, and either they don't know how to articulate it or they don't want to articulate it, so they use phrases like military-industrial complex, global bankers, you know, all, what do you call those tropes, right? Where you, anti-Semitic tropes, you know, where they either know or they don't know how to articulate it, so they just repeat what they hear on Alex Jones. And it's easy to do that, isn't it? You don't get thrown off of X or Facebook or your social media. You don't lose your job for talking about the military-industrial complex. But when you talk about, you know, a war started by the Jews in our State Department because of a grudge against Russia, you know, then you start getting in trouble. So that's kind of like New World Order. People love to use that one. I know that's your favorite of all time. That's why I want to mention it every week. But what they really mean, New World Order, more like Jew Order, am I right? What they really mean is they see like paradigm shifting, and so that's a phrase they use to, you know, describe it, I guess, political paradigm shifting. But we're at another shift here, paradigm a focus off of the Ukraine and onto Israel. And this RT article mentions that the debate in Washington is that they're out of money for Ukraine. And they've haven't been spent to the tune of $110 billion. Man, that's a lot. I mean, that can't just all be cash, right? That's probably like military equipment and whatnot. So also, and pretty much Mitch McConnell is still, you know, pushing for Ukraine support, and he's getting a lot of pushback. There's a lot of right wingers that want Israel only support. So you got that fight going on still. Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, okay. So when the fake Biden administration was formed back in January 2021, they took this giant photograph. It had to be a giant photograph. They were in this giant room, all, you know, 25 members of the cabinet. The whole cabinet was there, and it was a creepy photo because they were all wearing masks. Right now, Biden and Harris were only wearing one mask, but all the others were wearing two masks. They were all double masked, except for Biden and Harris. For whatever reason, they were just wearing a single black mask, but everybody else was wearing a white mask and then a black mask over it, which is, God, I mean, it's just so retarded. It's just so retarded. This whole, I mean, there's been so many retarded things going on for years, but the Biden administration has just been so retarded, and they were all socially distanced, which meant that they're really spread apart. And you put 25 people into a room, and they've all got to be standing at least 6 feet away from each other. And you do the geometry, and it means, A, you need a giant room, and B, the people towards the back of the photo, and they're wearing masks, you can barely identify them. Now, I remember I had used that photo, and I did identify the people. You know, obviously they're named, and there were six Jews and six blacks and four Hispanics, and, you know, it was just whatever it was. There was two straight white men. That's what you had. You had two straight white men. But like in the back row, the thing is, except for Lloyd Austin, the blacks were all in the back row because they had these less, you know, they like EPA director. Well, there's the Office of Management and Budget, which is the director of the Office of the Management and Budget. It writes the budgets, right? And which then get introduced into Congress and whatnot. At any rate, that's one of the black ladies. So there's this, and I'd forgotten all about her. If you'd asked me her name, I wouldn't have been able to tell you her name. I just remember that there was this fat black woman standing in the back, a young one, and her name, it's not Shaniqua, it's Shalanda. Okay, Shalanda Young. That was a long introduction to Shalanda Young. But anyway, I sent you this article, and there's a picture of a bewildered-looking Shalanda with the White House insignia and the American flag in the background, and she looks bewildered. And she's saying the U.S. is out of money for Ukraine. And she says that the country is nearly out of time. They're nearly out of time. And Shalanda Young claimed that past U.S. aid has resulted in significant military victories for Ukraine, and went on to urge more. They're winning really hard, Jeremy. They're winning really hard. They're having significant military victories. And here's the quote from it. I want to be clear, without congressional action, by the end of the year, we will run out of resources to procure more weapons and equipment for Ukraine and to provide equipment from U.S. military stocks. She said, there is no magical pot of funding available to meet this moment. We are out of money and nearly out of time. Well, what does that mean? We're out of money, but somehow we've got, and there's no magical pot. We're out of money. There's no magical pot. We have to send more money. It's important because Ukraine is winning hard. They've had significant victories. How out of touch with reality or logic or the English language do you have to be to say this kind of stuff?
I mean, winning hard like costs a lot of money, man. I just say, why can't money printer go burr? Just print some more of that, man. Who cares? Let's get the debt up to 50 trillion. I want to see 50 trillion by the end of 2024. Let's do it. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. So do you think this is a way for the White House to shift to Israel and sort of, cause they know Ukraine's done. And so when the Ukraine does become a failure and Russia keeps the, you know, the Donbass plus more territory, then everybody can say, well, the reason why, you know, the Ukraine didn't succeed is because you cut the money off. You think that's the way they're going with this?
Oh, well, there's going to be all sorts of weird finger pointing. But, the thing is, the whole project was lost. What was the project? The project was never to have a military victory in Ukraine. I don't think anybody... Well, the people involved in the planning of this, Victoria Nuland, that was not part of her Jewish scheme for Ukraine. The Jewish scheme for Ukraine was to provoke Russia into invading Ukraine and then use the invasion as a pretext for imposing unprecedented economic sanctions against Russia, which would screw up the economy and lead to a regime change. It would lead to civil unrest that would topple the government of Vladimir Putin. That was the scheme. And I say this with confidence because I know this is what Victoria Nuland was trying to do all along. This is when I was writing this stuff and Dr. Duke and I were talking about it in 2014, 2015. They had just overthrown the government of Ukraine. They had overthrown that through civil disrest and civil unrest, and Victoria Nuland herself walking through the streets of Kiev, handing out bagels or whatever she was handing out. I guess it was cookies or something. I don't know what she was doing, but also meeting with, we have photographs of her and John Kerry and Sassy Jen Psaki meeting with Arseniy Yatsenyuk, who became the prime minister immediately following the ouster of Yanukovych, and Petro Poroshenko, both of whom, according to Jewish sources, had Jewish heritage, and also Poroshenko became the president, and Vitali Klitschko, who became and is still the mayor of Kiev, who is a boxer who I'm not convinced has Jewish heritage, but there are also indications that he might. So I don't know, but whatever. But anyway, so you had this meeting of largely Jews, mainly Jews, and there was a published photograph of this meeting from December 2013. So I mean, there was this giant coup plot successfully regime changed Ukraine, and she wanted to regime change Russia. That was the whole plan. And had they done something like this in 2015 or 2016 or 2017, well, 2017, yeah, if Hillary had been elected in 2017, it might have even worked. But by the thing is, Vladimir Putin from 2014, Crimea, he was subject to increased sanctions. I mean, Russia's been sanctioned since 2008. They've been subject to certain economic sanctions since the conflict in Georgia in 2008, but they got really ramped up in 2014. And from 2014 on, Putin's economic team said, look, we've got to sanction-proof our economy. So,
and I'm alone. Skin
Truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24 karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
From 2014 on, Putin's economic team said, look, we've got to sanction-proof our economy. So they started working on sanction-proofing the economy, on developing industrial production in areas where they had until then been dependent on imports from Europe or other places. So they had spent... By the time Victoria Nuland came back into power in 2021, Russia had sanction-proofed their economy. They had been doing it for 7 years. 7, 8 years they had been working on sanction-proofing their economy, plus the relationship with China, and this was really the key factor. The relationship with China was that much better. It was that much better, and so China didn't go along with the sanctions. Maybe they would have gone along. Russia and China don't historically have the best relationship, and maybe they would have gone along with sanctions in 2014. But by 2022, no, it wasn't in the cards. And once China didn't go along with the sanctions, there was no way that Victoria Nuland's Jewish scheme of toppling Vladimir Putin was going to succeed. But you had you had the Ukrainians and the Russians, and they're fighting each other, and lots of people are dying, especially Ukrainians. Especially Ukrainians are dying. And do you think, I mean, do you think Victoria Nuland, is she a Ukrainian partisan? Does she care about the Ukrainians? Victoria Nuland, her grandfather was from Ukraine. He was a Jew. He left Ukraine because of anti-Semitism or whatever, and wound up eventually committing suicide. And so there was a lot of family turmoil, which Victoria Nuland blames on anti-Semitism of Ukrainians and Russians. And do you think she really differentiates between them? No. If she can have Ukraine and Russia fight a war where they're killing each other, fine. Okay, well, let's just let it keep going. We're not going to meet our objective of toppling the government, and eventually Russia's going to win. But if we can just keep this going past the 2024 election, okay. The one thing they don't want is for everything to fall apart in Ukraine and to have a humiliating defeat before the 2024 election. Well, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. So, you know, you got to do something. You're going to point fingers. This Israeli thing, it's not as if Victoria Nuland had anything to do with provoking this Israel thing. But to the extent people are looking at Israel when Ukraine falls apart, maybe there will be a little bit less attention on what goes on. But it's going to be a massive humiliation. There's no way that when Zelensky is overthrown and the Ukrainians are trying to sue for some sort of peace, when this happens, when Ukraine falls apart, there's no way that this isn't going to be like the fall of Afghanistan squared. So I know that was long-winded, but that's...
Oh, I can almost hear for the 2024 campaign, you know, the Democrats will be blaming the Republicans for not funding the Ukraine. Republicans will be blaming Democrats for anti-Semitism and pro-Palestinian rhetoric. It's just going to be horrible.
Yes, it is. It's going to be horrible.
And then everybody's going to get up to the podium and see who loves Israel the most, man. That's what they're going to campaign on. And all of the domestic problems, flooding cities with third worlders here in America, the horrible economy, that's just all going to be put to the side. And they're just going to focus on these things, I think. I mean, how could they focus on anything else? Both sides have been horrible, you know, on the domestic front. Well, on the international scene as well. But, you know, people care. How long till people just say, we don't care about what's going on in the Middle East? You know, we want this country fixed. We want our situation fixed. I mean, I'm sure people are saying that, but what are they going to do about it? Who's actually offering viable solutions? Of all the candidates, nobody. No one is. So, there's my...
We get back to why, okay? And the why is nobody can... It's not as if... People might be surprised by this, but I don't even dislike Jews. Like, as individuals, I don't dislike them. The group behavior, I have an analysis of their group behavior, and the group behavior is extremely destructive. Extremely destructive. But on an individual level, no. I mean, individual level, I really don't have a whole lot of problems with Jews in general. I mean, it's like if I see Jews walking down the street, I don't cross the street to walk on the other side, you know. There's a huge problem with their group behavior, but nobody will talk about it. And so every time there's the crimes of the Jews, then everybody's jumping around looking, who can we blame these crimes of the Jews on? Let's blame it on the neocons. Let's blame it on the military-industrial complex. Let's blame it on the liberals. Let's blame it. You know, everybody has to find somebody to blame the crimes of the Jews on. And the thing is, even if you can... There's no one taking your place since you've been gone.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Memory, your limelight is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home.
The liberals. Let's blame it. You know, everybody has to find somebody to blame the crimes of the Jews on. And the thing is, even if you can, let's just say, shut down the war in Ukraine by saying it's a military-industrial complex. Okay, well, but you still got, you know, if the war in Ukraine is a fire that was set by the Jews, and then you put out the fire and you arrest the military-industrial complex, well, you've still got, and blame it on the military-industrial complex, you've still got the arsonists running around, setting fires. And that's what happens over and over and over again, because nobody is willing to talk about who's actually doing it and why they're actually doing it. And so, you know, you talk about what's going on the border. It's liberals. It's the Democratic Party, because they're trying to import voters. Nobody cares about the Democratic Party, and nobody cares about the voters. Guess what? When the voters vote in Republicans in Congress and in president and and when you have Republican appointed people in the Supreme Court, has it made a difference? Nobody cares. It doesn't matter whether you import voters for the Democrats to win elections. Like this whole time since 1965, since you've had this massive increase in immigration, it hasn't led to permanent Democratic. In fact, you've had increase in Republican domination of the White House or of Congress. It doesn't translate to Democratic victories, but it does translate to whites becoming a besieged minority. And that's the problem. The problem isn't whether it's Democrats or Republicans who are in the White House or holding the gavel in Congress. That hasn't been the key factor. But what you're finding is increased anti-whiteness, that whites are being turned into a minority, and you're but you know, it's really going too far. I don't mean to just be blackpilling the whole time. I think especially this thing in Israel, it's really, 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 really hard to blame. I mean, I guess they'll try, but when you've got Netanyahu and he's got this cabinet full of extreme religious and ethnic fanatics, and they're calling the Palestinians Amalekites. You know this way better than I do, Jeremy.
Yeah. Amalek.
They're calling him Amalek. Which, I mean, it's hard to blame Netanyahu's speech on Amalek and, you know, the minister of housing, his call for using nuclear weapons on Gaza and all of these other things that we hear coming out of the Israeli cabinet. It's hard to blame this on the military-industrial complex. It's hard to blame it anything than Jewish fanaticism. And so they've really gone too far.
And it is important to talk about it because, you know, in the same way that people don't want to talk about Jewish power, they'd rather talk about military industrial complex, bankers, New World Order. They don't want to talk about white genocide, as you pointed out. They would rather frame it as, oh, no, there's more Democrat voters being imported in. Oh, no, they're giving them money and medical care, you know, socialism. We're turning into a socialist state. It's, you know, talking points like that. Until we can steer the conversation to white genocide and Jewish power, we're never going to get politicians to fix it because people are just going to keep voting in the guy that says, you know, I'll stop these demon rat voters. You know, we'll help secure the border, and only let in those we just want legal. We just want legal immigration. And that's what we're going to get at best. At best, that's what we're going to get as long as these are the talking points. So, I mean, it is important to get people's conversation steered in the right direction. And the whole Israel-Gaza thing, I think, is a good start to this, to get people to open their eyes and see, like, why are we doing this? You know, why are we literally supporting, we meaning the country of the U.S., you know, the murder of babies? If any other country were doing this, they would be sanctioned at the least. And if they were small enough, they'd be invaded. Well, any other country other than Saudi Arabia, they've kind of been doing that to Yemen for a couple of decades. But, you know, trying to get people to open their eyes. And I don't even mean with the Christian Zionists. They're too far gone. They get the Star of Rembrandt on their Facebook page, and we support Israel. Unfortunately, they're huge Trump supporters, too, so that all is a package. But wake up some of your more middle-of-the-road political friends or liberal friends, you know, and let them see this. Try to get the talking points stirred in the right direction. Is it a good time to shift to Zelensky descending into dictatorship? Descending, I mean, he's kind of been there for a while, hasn't he?
Let's go for it.
Well, I mean, you know, since the Russia-Ukraine war started, he's kind of taken over. He's got a state media, forced conscription. Pretty much anyone, 16 to 60, has to fight. All the Jews were taken out, and all the ethnic Slavics were, and anyone else that wasn't Jewish were forced to fight. But here, this Ukrainian, this article in Ukraine from RT, Zelensky has descended into authoritarianism, according to the Kiev mayor, it says.
Yeah.
All of Ukraine is becoming dependent on the mood of one single person. So this mayor was Vitaly Klitschko.
He's the former heavyweight boxing champion of the world. So if you were paying attention, if you were paying attention to boxing a dozen years ago, 15 years ago, he and his younger brother Vladimir were completely dominating the heavyweight boxing. This was before Tyson Fury, but you know, they both were champions. And you know, there's the WBA and the WBL or whatever it is. There are these different organizations that have belts, but he and his brother dominated all of the heavyweight boxing belts for about a decade. And then Vitaly got into Ukrainian politics, and on the famous, I mentioned him. He was in that famous photograph with Victoria Nuland and John Kerry and Sassy Jansaki and someone else from the State Department on one side of the table, and then Klitschko and Yatsenyuk and Poroshenko on the other side of the table, right before the, you know, 2 months, 6 weeks before, I guess about 2 months before the Maidan overthrow. So he was plotting with the Jews, and he's the one person, he's been he was also featured in the infamous phone call. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the infamous phone call from Victoria Nuland to Jeffrey Piat, who was the ambassador, American ambassador to Kiev, where this was from before the overthrow of Yatsenyuk. This was from maybe the end of January, the beginning of February, right before the overthrow. And they are talking about who they want to be in control of the government. And she wanted Yatsenyuk to be prime minister, but we don't want Klitschko in the central government. We want him talking on the phone with Yatsenyuk every week, but we don't want him in the cabinet because it's not going to work. And of course, that's what happened. He wasn't in the cabinet, and so instead, he's mayor of Kiev. And I know for a fact, I've been to Victoria Nuland's office, and I was there. It was sometime in 2015, and I know for a fact that Klitschko had just been there. Visiting Victoria Nuland in her office in 2015, like maybe April or something, it was around Easter time, and she'd just been there like a few days before I'd been there. I was in the State Department on other business, and I walked by Victoria Nuland's office, and I thought, oh, it would be fun to drop in, and I did. So anyway, so
yeah,
that's
I can tell. Yeah, this guy looks. He's got the square jaw. You know, big square shoulders, and you can tell he's a fighter. But this mayor is saying pretty much the local authorities are the only independents left, municipalities. He says the mayor says Ukraine is on the path to authoritarianism. There's only one independent institution left, local authorities, and they're under enormous pressure. The central government is not communicating hardly at all with local authorities. So, you know, I guess that means just the centralized government of Ukraine is just plowing right through, ignoring all of its lower counties and cities. I don't know if that's what they're called there, but you know, in American lingo, that's what it would look like here. Pretty much, I mean, that's what our government's doing. Perhaps we could gauge this, see how the Ukrainians push back on this, if there is a pushback, and learn from it in the case of our authoritarian government. You know, because we've said for a while that it's worth it to get involved with your local government, municipalities, making sure you have good sheriffs, things like that, you know, for when the government does crack down. Perhaps we could look at this as sort of a gauge to see how it's going to go, how to respond to it. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if even what Klitschko is saying is true. What I think is significant about Klitschko complaining about the authoritarianism of the central government, of the government of Vladimir Zelensky, is, you know, Klitschko is somebody who was very popular in 2013 and 2014, and very well could have wound up being the president of Ukraine, because he was very popular. He's a national hero. He was the Conor McGregor of Ukraine, really, right? I mean, he was their most famous athlete. To me, when I look at this, so I see Klitschko, who was, you know, he was in that photograph of Jewish scheming for the overthrow of Ukraine in December 2013. He was in that photograph. Who else was in that photograph? Poroshenko. That Poroshenko, there are these, I guess there's some sort of tape that which might be faked, but some sort of tape of him in a conversation with another oligarch, rich guy, and they're talking about overthrowing, having a coup against Zelensky. And then you've got Zelensky's top general, Zaluzhny, who also seems to be like, well, the relationship between Zelensky and Zaluzhny is horrible. It's horrible. And they both would want to get rid of each other. But at this point, so Zelensky apparently Mark Dankoff was reporting on Friday of last week that Zelensky, you know, there are these rumors that Zelensky wants to dismiss Zaluzhny. And Lloyd Austin popped up in, was it Lloyd Austin? And I guess also, Lloyd Austin popped up in Kiev. And also the director of the CIA, Burns, what's his first name? I forgot, not Nick Burns, it's the other Burns. William Burns popped up. And supposedly they are telling Zelensky, do not remove Zaluzhny. Do not remove Zaluzhny. But at any rate, like, Zelensky's and the Zelensky's term is going to expire next spring, and so they're supposed to have elections next spring. Zelensky said, well, we can't have elections as long as we have a war. If elections were held, maybe Klitschko or Zaluzhny would or I don't know, Poroshenko was defeated by Zelensky in the last elections, but maybe one of these people would win. But you've got these very, very prominent people, who are want to see the end of Zelensky. They want to overthrow him, and elections are due. And you know, well, if your elections are due in 4 months and you're not going to call elections, that sounds like a pretty good excuse to overthrow somebody. So I think we're about to see the end of Zelensky. His days there are numbered. Not that any of these people are really well suited to sue for peace. I mean, all these people have, if you look at their track records, they have horrible track records. But, you know, none of them are going to be looked kindly upon. But you know, one of them could come in and what do? You sue for peace with Russia, and you have to make these massive concessions. They're going to lose a big hunk of their territory at a minimum. They're going to have to have constitutional guarantees that they're going to be that they'll never join NATO or be a neutral country. You know, they're going to have to make massive concessions. And are they capable of doing it? You know, so I don't know. It's all falling apart. But
so. Yeah. Let me make sure I followed. Klitschko. So Klitschko, he got his position right after the 2014 coup, and
yes,
it says he's one of the few Poroshenko era officials left to keep his post under Zelensky. So apparently Zelensky had something going with this guy. Is that where you're going with Klitschko? Because when I said, you know, there's no communication, it seems you seem to have doubted what Klitschko was saying, or seemed to think that he was a bad player in this.
Well, I mean, I think he's his own bad player. He was one of the leaders of the coup against Yanukovych. Okay,
right.
But he's somebody who has he was a national hero in Ukraine. He was a national hero for being an athlete, and then he was to the extent that people supported, to the extent that anybody supported the overthrow of the government, and it was really only half the country that supported it and half didn't, but to the half that overthrew it, he is a hero. Now, what's interesting and important for people to understand is the last election, which was held in 2019, was that where Zelensky won, he beat Poroshenko. Now, who was voting for Zelensky and who was voting for Poroshenko? Now, Zelensky did win in a landslide, but Zelensky, who was voting for Poroshenko? The people who were voting for Poroshenko were the most anti-Russian people in the country. The only provinces he won was like the one around Lvov, the areas of Ukraine that have had a long association with, at least in parts of their history, with Lithuania and Poland. Right. The more Russian speaking an area was, the more it voted for Zelensky. So the people. And this is something that people should understand. The people who voted for Zelensky were the people who wanted to have better relations with Russia. Zelensky ran on a program, and Zelensky didn't even speak Ukrainian. He's a Russian-speaking Jew. He's not a Ukrainian. He's not a Ukrainian speaker. And so he was elected by the Russian speakers of the country and others and Ukrainian speakers who just wanted better relations with Russia on a platform of improving relations with Russia. He obviously didn't deliver. And now you've got the people who are angling against Zelensky are people who, at least historically, were hardliners. They were more hardline against Russia than Zelensky. So that's the situation you have now.
But by the way, you mispronounced Zelensky's name. It's not Vladimir. It's Volodymyr or Voldemort. We'll accept Voldemort.
Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, still with your turn. You wonder how you keep going. Think of all the things that really matter and the chances you earn.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
By the way, you mispronounced Zelensky's name. It's not Vladimir. It's Volodymyr or Voldemort. We'll accept Voldemort. Okay, so that's interesting. I did not realize that Zelensky came in on a pro-Russian campaign then, or a pro, all right, let me rephrase, a pro get along with Russia platform.
And he very
so that's very interesting. That's very interesting. So the Jews put him in power, knowing that he would beguile the people into voting for him, and then always in the back of their mind since 2014, looking for a way to draw Russia into this conflict. Now they've got their guy in power, Zelensky.
I don't even know that I would agree with that characterization. I mean, you had Poroshenko, and Poroshenko was fully on board with a military buildup in order to fight with Russia. That he was on board with that. And if you look at
could he be controlled as easily as Zelensky? I mean, obviously Zelensky's an actor who plays the piano with his penis. I mean, this guy's a joke. He'll do whatever you tell him. Was there some friction between Poroshenko and the Jewish State Department?
I don't think it was so much there was friction between Poroshenko and the State Department. And in 2019, the State Department, this was the Trump administration. Victoria Nuland had been kicked out of the State Department on Inauguration Day. I mean, Trump made all sorts of personnel mistakes, but on Inauguration Day, he fired Victoria Nuland. There was plenty of holdovers from the Obama administration who undermined him during those first few weeks, plenty of them. But he did take time out from dancing with his lovely wife to fire Victoria Nuland. So, you did wind up by 2019. You had Mike Pompeo in office. It was originally Rex Tillerson who was the Secretary of State. But the way I look at it is who is responsible for Vladimir Zelensky? Zelensky was put in power by Igor Kolomoisky. Igor Kolomoisky owned the network. He was, I think at the time, the second richest person in Ukraine. And he's got all sorts of business interests. And I think he probably wanted to have better relations with Russia so that his business interests would be better served.
Okay, I got you. So Volodymyr was put in by a Jew, but it was for the purpose of having better relations.
Who had his own Jewish agenda, and I think probably after Zelensky was put in, there was a falling out between Zelensky and Kolomoisky. Kolomoisky put him in, but now Zelensky has stripped him of his Ukrainian citizenship. You know, so
Zelensky used to work for Kolomoisky then.
Yeah, and I think in the case of Zelensky, Zelensky went from having one puppet master once he became president, then he shifted to having the Jew crew that was running the State Department after the fake Biden administration came in. That's when he switched from one Jew master to another Jew master. And so there you go. We can talk about this more on the next show.
Yeah, we're out of time. Thanks for joining me, Patrick. Stay tuned tomorrow for Patrick and Jeremy Part 2. You stay classy, my friend.
I will do my best.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com.
or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You can't handle the truth!